ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربي زدني علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Today we will cover Surah Al-Hujurat Ayahs 12 to 18. We covered part of Ayah 12. We will continue on from there, inshallah. Last time we learned that how certain suspicions are a sin. So we have to take ourselves out of following after other people and leaving what does not concern a person. And this is the beauty of Islam. Many times families live together, so it becomes easy for some to keep tabs on others. When someone wakes up, what they eat, where they're going, and follow up on their conversations. It is prohibited for any person to pretend to sleep while listening on to the conversation of someone else. This type of spying is also not allowed. Some women follow after their husbands, which eventually breaks marriages. Suspicion and spying is wrong in many ways. When a person learns about a private matter of another person, they should not follow after it. Spying is also listening onto the conversation between two people who do not want the other person to hear. Sometimes a person may be conversing with someone while they are listening to someone else's conversation. It is also not allowed to open someone else's letters or emails or checking phones for calls or texts. This type of spying on individuals is not allowed. However, this does not include spying of governments for their security purposes, as the governments have specific departments for this. But spying on an individual at an individual level to keep tabs on other person is not allowed. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Do not backbite Muslims, nor look for their faults, because whoever looks for faults of Muslims, then Allah goes after their faults, and whoever pursues after mistakes of these people, then Allah will humiliate them while in their own home." Astaghfirullah. If someone looks for faults of others and do spying to find faults, then we must remember that if Allah starts looking for our faults, while He knows what is hidden and apparent of each and every creature, then if He wills, He can make them disgraced in their own home. In one hadith, it is mentioned that the best slaves of Allah are ones, when others look at them, remember Allah. These are the ones loved by Allah. And the worst of people are those who incite fights among other people, and also those who cause strife and distances between friends. This is done by those who have nothing else to do in their lives. So these are those who cause strife between friends and try to constantly involve innocent people in sin, or cause them worry, or create problems for them. This is in Musnad Ahmad. From this, a person who causes separation, even between friends, is called a worse person. Then what about someone who tries to create a strife between a husband and a wife and tries to cause their separation? Who can be worse than this? So even if causing strife and separation between friends is considered bad, then what about the relations of a husband and a wife? So instead of causing fights between people, we should reconcile as commanded by Allah. If Muslims act on these commands, there would not be any corruption in the earth. There would not be any conflicts, any fighting between people as they are today. There are fights in almost every household. There is a cause for this. There are some who add fuel to the fire, and small matters are turned into big fights. But why is this happening? Would we be clear of these wrongdoings on the Day of Judgment? We may convince people in this life that we didn't say anything or do anything, but we should look deep within ourselves regarding what is our conduct in this regard. We must make sure we do not become means of igniting conflicts between people or even instilling false assumptions about someone. Another way to create conflicts between a husband and wife is by describing another woman who may be more beautiful to the husband. How would the husband look and find his own wife after that? Saying negative things about the wife, would the husband like it? So cannot spy or be suspicious of others. Because if these things are not there, homes can be peaceful. So the matter began with assumptions, then it became into a suspicion, and then following after with spying. Then talking about what they see to others. In what cases can investigating be allowed? To save someone from a loss, or to guard oneself or another Muslim? To find out the plot of someone to save oneself? Next, we learn, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ, do not backbite, بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْضًا, some of you, others. What is considered riba or backbiting? In Abu Dawud, people asked the Prophet ﷺ, what is backbiting? The Prophet ﷺ said, that you mention a certain matter about your Muslim brother, and if he learns of it, does not like it. And then the companions asked, even if, is the truth about them? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, this is riba or backbiting. Otherwise, it is a slander. If someone says something that is not true about a person. But if a matter is true, and the person talked about hears it, and doesn't like it, then it is riba, backbiting. For example, when a person sees a fault of someone, and instead of covering it up, they start talking to others about it. If the person had covered it up and not revealed it to others, Allah would have covered this person's fault on the day of Qiyamah. This is a Bukhari Muslim narration. If someone had seen a fault or shortcoming of someone, then they should have covered it up. Because on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will conceal their faults and shortcomings. So now when this person learns of the other person's faults or mistakes, starts telling others, this way no one's dignity is protected. For example, if we go to someone's house, and as soon as we leave their house, go to others and start talking about them and what they see in the house. For example, if there are five people talking badly about the sixth person, then when one of them leaves from the five, the other four start speaking badly about them. And then when the fourth one leaves, the other three start speaking badly about the fourth. Until the third one leaves, and the remaining two speak ill of the third. This is what happens in gatherings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of this evil. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ, would one of you like that they eat the flesh of his brother? أَخِيهِ مَيْتَ, one who is dead. فَكَرِحْتُمُوهُ, then you would hate it. This is a type of a question that contains an answer. And a question is only asked to make the readers realize, would you like it if you ate the flesh of your dead brother? They would surely find it disgusting, and no one would like it. This is because the person is absent and cannot defend himself. As when someone says bad about them behind the person's back, he cannot defend himself as he is not present, to give his excuse. So in this scenario, speaking ill about someone who is absent is as eating the flesh of a dead brother. Astaghfirullah. This is equated with the most disgusting thing, and no one would like to do it. Therefore, talking about the fault of someone and speaking badly behind someone's back is ghiba, even if it is true. And slander is when say something untrue about someone. In a hadith, Ma'az Aslami, who was stoned after accepting his fornication, there were two people in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of them said, "Look at this, Ma'az. Allah had concealed his sin while he exposed himself and attested to the sin himself until he was stoned like a dog." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not respond to their conversation, and he left until he passed by a carcass of a dead donkey. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned and asked, "Where are the two?" They said, "We are here." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Come here and eat the dead donkey." They said, "O Prophet of Allah, who would eat this?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What you just did by dishonoring your brother was worse than eating this dead donkey. I swear by the one in whose hand is my life. He is swimming in the rivers of paradise. As Ma'az Aslami was stoned till death, it was his retribution for his sin in this world." So this example is given to make people understand the seriousness of the matter, as how disgusting it is to eat the flesh of a dead body. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the wealth and honor and the life of a Muslim being haram for others, so cannot dishonor another Muslim, just as one who stays away and hates eating a dead body. We should stay away from doing riba and backbiting. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on Miraj, the journey to heaven, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I passed by such people whose nails were made of metal. With those metal nails, they were scratching their faces and chests." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I asked Jibreel alayhi salam, 'O Jibreel, who are these people?' He said, 'These are those who used to eat the flesh of their brother and humiliate their brothers.'" And this is an Abu Dawood narration. In another narration of Abu Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Any person who ate the flesh of his brother," meaning how? By doing riba, "said Allah will feed them that much fire of hell. And whoever unlawfully wore a Muslim's clothes, Allah will make them wear that much from the clothes of hell. And whoever made someone stand to show off and trouble them, Allah will make them stand on the day of Qiyamah to show and give trouble. They will be humiliated in front of everyone." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Whoever devoured the flesh of his brother in this world, flesh will be brought and he will be told to eat the flesh of the dead as he ate the flesh of the living brother in this world. The person will scream and turn away from eating, but he will be forced to eat it." In another narration, it is mentioned that riba is worse than zina or fornication. The companions asked, "O Prophet of Allah, how is it more severe than fornication?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A man fornicates and repents to Allah, then Allah accepts his repentance, while the one who does riba is not forgiven until the one he backbited forgives him. This is a sin. On the day of Qiyamah, the person will have to give up his good deeds to the one who he backbited." This is the kafara. Kafara is a certain worship or penalty served as a compensation for certain sins. So the kafara for doing riba is seeking forgiveness for the person they did riba against. In addition to seeking forgiveness from Allah for the sin, the person must also have remorse for doing this and promise never to commit it again. If the one ghibah was done against knows about it, then the person should go and ask for their forgiveness. But if they do not know, and if they tell them in the process of asking for their forgiveness, if it would cause more resentment, then can supplicate for their forgiveness. Also, cannot backbite a child, a disbeliever, and a person who is mentally mad. In some conditions, riba is okay. And what are the conditions under which riba is allowed? The first is when a matter of a sharia has to be explained. For example, a person who is oppressed or treated unjustly, and he takes his concern to the authority or police or an imam or a scholar to talk about the wrong done to them so that justice can be served. The second scenario is when ghiba is done to end a certain evil and to invite the wrongdoer to good, to speak about the ill of a person to another who can stop the person from the wrongdoing, so further wrongdoing is prevented. The third scenario is when a person goes to a mufti, a scholar, and explains the wrong done to them and seeks a fatwa or a decision in the hopes of finding a solution. Number four scenario is for the good of Muslims, to save them from losses. For example, if someone is seeking to marry a person, and if anyone knows about their being bad, they can tell them about it. Or if someone is about to take on a business partnership with a person, and a person knows about this person's dishonesty, then they can tell the parties involved about that person. Or if someone is about to give something as a trust to another person, they can tell them if they know the person's and knows how they might face losses. Or in case of someone who is looking to buy a house and the neighbors are not of good reputation, then they can alert the prospective buyers to let them know about them. Or if someone needs an advice regarding a party or a person prior to making a deal with them, and if someone knows about the person, they can talk about the person. Or if there is a person whom others will gain religious knowledge from and is known to follow bid'at or is a fasiq, and if people went to him to gain knowledge, it would mislead them, then in that case, it is okay to tell others about him. Or if a person is about to be appointed in a position of authority or leadership, and if something of concern is known about the person, can tell the concerning parties about them, that this is a problem with them. Also, if someone is worried and stressed and wants to share with someone to get comforted and wants to get advice or hear words of comfort, they can talk about it. If anyone has wronged, can talk to certain people, even to get good advice, but not sitting everywhere and talking bad about the family members, not to talk about to everyone, then it becomes riba. In addition, in case of an oppressive leader, talking about his oppression is not riba. Also, a fasik or a transgressor, an open sinner who crosses the limits of Allah, and in this character is not hidden from others, someone can warn about this person. So we learn a balance. It's not that we cannot say anything about anyone, even if it means others incurring losses because of not telling them. That is not correct. If others are in danger and face a risk of incurring losses, then should tell about the person. But not speaking ill about others without proof, that is not correct. First and foremost, we must try to cover the faults of people. The Prophet ﷺ said, If any one of you sees a small straw in his brother's eyes and forgets his own eyes, forgetting about one's own faults and looking for shortcomings in others, there are many shortcomings in us that we need to reform and take care of. Abdullah bin Amr said, "It is enough for any person to be misguided when he sees such things in people that he doesn't see in himself and what he does himself. When he sees others doing it, he condemns it, and he hurts others. May Allah protect us from these sins." These are the things that Allah has disapproved in the Quran. So how does one stay away from these things? One way is that a person should leave sitting in gatherings where this happens. And a person usually knows that if I go to these gatherings, then he will surely start doing that. And this is a habit of certain people and who are indulged in these things. Therefore, should avoid these gatherings and avoid these type of people. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Save yourself from riba, because it is a curry of human dogs." It is also important to remember, when someone is about to talk ill about someone, to look at their own faults and shortcomings first. This way, they will feel shame in talking about others. Or, before speaking ill of someone, think, "The brother I am about to speak ill about is standing behind the wall and listening. Would we still do it if that was the case?" Some people say, "Bring him in front of me. I will say the same to their face. I'm not afraid of anyone." If do it in front of them, it will become as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wala talmizu anfusakum." Do not defame yourselves or each other. Also, if someone is being humiliated in a gathering, the others should try to say good about the person. The matters in Ayah 12 are when the person is not present, and we learn the right of a Muslim brother in their absence. The previous Ayah, Ayah 11, was about when the person is present and what we should do. So when the person is not present and people talk about their faults, then we must try to defend the person. If we do not see any fault in ourselves, then we should be grateful and not find in others. We put the fault in ourselves by talking badly about someone. When we deal justly with people and overlook their faults, then assumptions will be avoided and backbiting will not occur. Also, if we see faults in others, instead of speaking about the bad in them, should make dua for them. Wattaqullah, fear Allah, because only the fear of Allah will safeguard a person from these things. Otherwise, cannot be safe. Inna Allaha tawwabur rahim. Indeed, Allah is the acceptor of repentance and most forgiving. What is Allah indicating to? In Tawwabur Rahim, to seek repentance, as He is the most merciful.